Welcome to the Food Freedom Habit Podcast, where you can find freedom from food crazies using nothing but your own brain. With me, Lydia, the lifestyle coach. Would you like permanent food and body peace without tracking one trigger or calorie? Whether you're dealing with overeating, binge eating, bulimia, food obsession, body hate, or the endless diet cycle? We do all this without delving into past trauma, starting yet another food plan, or monitoring every meal. Live a free life aligned with your health and values. If you're ready for something real, you're in the right place. All episodes are 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast. And we are going to talk about something so fun to know because it just takes so much pressure off because we try so hard and we wonder why the harder that I try is this problem with food, whether it's body hate, food obsession, binge eating, bulimia, overeating, compulsive eating, food addiction, whatever it is in that vein, it all comes down to the same thing. And what it comes down to is it's a very simple, simple reason why we try so hard, and the harder we try, it seems like the worse that it gets. And so we're going to dive right into that today. And hello, guys. So fun to see you on. Feel free to heart and like and say hello. And it's wonderful, wonderful to see you here. So we're going to talk today about a really important concept, which is you can't fix what you can't see. And we're going to talk about why it is that we are not able to see the reasons, really, why we're overeating, binge eating, whatever that brand of food crazy is that you're dealing with. So how an eating disorder shows up is, you know, it's the mental obsession all day. It's the waking up in the morning, it's thinking about food, it's planning, it's the calculating, it's the worrying, is can I go here, can I not go here, what if I eat this, you know, then what do I need to do to make up for that? It's this constant distraction with those food thoughts and the food worries that come with it. It's a compulsive eating as well. It's feeling like you don't know when to stop, you don't know how to eat, you aren't sure exactly when or why or the right way for you, and then if you start, you can't stop, you've got to finish the whole thing. It's this compulsive, uncontrolled feeling around food. And it might start out in the morning where you're feeling great and you're going to keep your promises and things are different today. And then once it gets to some certain point, whether it's a stress that comes in or whether it's a hard day or whether it's a certain time of day, it seems like we start feeling completely differently about food, and then we're eating uncontrollably. And it really turns into this lack of confidence of, why can't I keep my promises? Why can I do so many other things and be successful? And I can't do this one simple thing with food, which is just know when to stop or stay and stick to my plan. And the more promises that we break to ourselves, then it's that feeling of failure, and it really wears down on us. And then there are the physical things that start. So there's the weight gain. It often turns into rapid weight gain. It manifests usually first as, you know, yo-yoing with weight up and down. And so we go up and then we get really serious about this and then we go down. And then for some reason, we don't know why, we go out of control and then our weight is back up again. And after a while with that yo-yoing, then we don't yo-yo anymore. Then it just stays elevated. And we either add an elevated weight for a while, or we're not able to lose weight anymore because we've done so much damage to our metabolism, and then the weight just keeps on skyrocketing up. I mean, we've coached women before that are gaining 10 pounds a week by the time that they come to us. And with the physical things going on, then it all leads to more and more mental and psychological things that happen. So the panic attacks start. And we have the physical damage of losing teeth. And then we are losing teeth, or we have a diagnosis like diabetes, esophageal cancer. And it's the panic of knowing that it was our choices, like that we did that to ourselves. And this is in the face of having an identity where I'm a healthy person. I care about my body. I want to be here for my kids or my grandkids. I want to be successful. Like, I care so much. I've tried so hard. And it's really confusing to see the exact opposite happen from what we're trying so hard to do and really who we feel like we are. And then there's the question of, who am I? And we start losing who we are. Well, who am I really? Because I say that I'm healthy. I say that I care. I make these promises to myself. And then it's like I'm trying to do the exact opposite. It's like I'm sabotaging myself. And there are these big question marks that come up around who we are. So an eating disorder, whether you're calling it that right now or not, right? Your craziness with food, your food addiction, feeling out of control, not being able to stick to a plan, whatever label you currently have on it, that never stops taking and it gets worse and worse. And here's the reason why. These are all of the ways that this problem with food manifests. But those are just symptoms. Those are just the things that happen, although they're very difficult and they're very hard, and those are the things that ruin our life. Those are just symptoms of the real problem. And the real problem is the lack of knowing how to end those urges to binge in the moment, or the urge to finish everything in the package, or the urge to continue, you know, thinking of things, that compulsivity. So it's that we don't know how to end the urges in the moment when it feels hard, so that we have that control over food. And it's a lack of knowing how to stop those urges from coming back around. Because think about that for a minute. If in the moment you can gain back full control, and then those urges never come back, you're done. You're absolutely free. And that is really what this comes down to. So how do we do that? So as soon as we see what is happening and we know why and what to do about it, then it fixes itself. This is something that is just so, so much fun for the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people all around the world that have come to us from long histories of eating disorders, that have tried everything, that have been to 5 eating disorder, you know, inpatient centers, that have done every diet in the book, that have gotten, you know, multiple surgeries, complications from surgeries, that have gotten an education in nutrition, like these really amazing people that have tried so hard. When they finally see why this is happening and they know exactly what to do about it, we've seen people in as little as a week or 2 weeks be completely done of these compulsions, and they never come back. And they're just done, done, done. And it's this feeling of ease and grace. Now it's work, you show up, you've got to be coachable, absolutely. But the results can happen very quickly when you have these couple simple things in place. So here are all the places that we look and what we try to control that a lot of times unbeknownst to us actually make the problem worse. So we try to control our eating. Well, if I can just eat the right way, if I can eat the right foods at the right times, have the right pH balance, have the right level of ketosis, have all the right clean foods, have all the right organic foods, have all the right colored foods, whatever it is. Well, if I can just eat the right way, then this will go away. I can control that. And then the more tightly we try to control it, you can go and try it. Go on a restrictive diet today. See how you feel in 3 days or a week. See how crazy your eating gets after that. So we don't realize that trying to control it more, trying to control everything that we eat, actually makes the problem worse. The other thing that we try to go to is we try to figure out why this all started. So we go to counseling, we dig back in all our past trauma, or there's be some reason why I care so much about my health, but I'm hurting myself with food. Why would I do that? There's got to be some reason. Maybe it's I want control. Maybe it's I don't have another coping mechanism. And so we go back and we dig up all this past trauma. What people don't realize is that makes it worse as well. It makes these huge obstacles to overcome before we can even hope for help. And we've seen people do it. We've had people come to us after 25 years of therapy where they have gone back and dealt with everything. And in fact, I love what one of our clients told us when she came to us. She's like, I've gone to therapy for 25 years and there's nothing else to talk about. I have resolved everything. And in that time, she had gained 100 pounds of her eating disorder, and it never ever fixed her problems with food. That's the other thing we try to control. Well, if I only knew, if I only find out why this all started, then it'll go away. It's just not true. The other thing we try to control is our circumstances. Well, if I don't get triggered, I'm going to put that in quotes, because as our clients learn very quickly, triggers are a completely made up and ridiculous thing that have nothing to do with anything. But we start thinking about, oh, well, I get triggered. Well, when I'm at a party, or when I get stressed out, or, you know, when my partner says this, or when my kids do this, well, then I'm triggered. And once I'm triggered, then I feel completely different. I'm out of control with food. So I'll just try to control my life. I'll make my life smaller and smaller. If parties make me want to binge, I'm not going to go to parties. If staying up late makes me want to binge, I'm, you know, going to go to bed really early. If stress makes me want to binge, well, then I'm going to quit my job because that's really stressful. And so our life gets smaller and smaller and smaller, which makes us feel like more and more of a failure. And then when we still binge, then we make our life even smaller. That's that old model of avoid all of your triggers. And that doesn't work, because the more we try to control that, then it just makes us feel more and more hopeless, because we're still doing the behavior, even though we're trying to get rid of all of our triggers. And new triggers are going to come up for us. So it's this endless whack-a-mole that you can do for the rest of your life of trying to end your triggers. The other thing we try to control is our body. All right, well, if I just lose the weight, if I just get to the size that I can feel comfortable at, if I can just fit in my clothes again, if I can just get my confidence back, well, as soon as I get there, then things will get so much better. And you know what? That might hold your motivation for a minute. You might be able to go for a few months. You might be able to get back into that dress that you wanted to get to, and then it will be more confusing than ever why the weight gain comes back rapidly because you're totally out of control with food. And it's this idea of, wait, I felt so good. And we know that we felt good. I felt so good at that size. I was fitting into my clothes. Why on earth would I ruin all of that? Would I ruin my health? Would I ruin my confidence? Would I ruin how good I felt in my body? Why would I ruin all that and go right back up to the size that I wanted to get away from in the first place? And it just creates this deeper and deeper confusion. And so every time that we try and fail, because we're trying on our own or trying to figure this out without knowing really how to fix this, without getting to the root of what's happening, to end the urges in the moment, to keep them from coming back. When we try to do things that aren't getting to the root of the problem, then the habit gets even more ingrained. And now it's really emotionally ingrained. So the way that a habit gets really strong in your brain is one, repetition, and two, pairing that with a high emotion. So when we have the repetition of every single time we binge, every single time we restrict, and then it's the, and I feel like such a failure when I do, and I'm on such a high when I try a new diet, and then I feel like such a loser when, and out of control and so awful, then we're ingraining that habit in with every single failure really, really strong, because we're teaching our brain how to actually make the problem worse. And we feel like we have no power. And so when it becomes a habit, which it does as these emotions and the repetition gets paired, it becomes a really strong habit. And here's what it's all about. When I'm talking about you can't fix what you can't see, here's the kicker about it becoming a habit, is that it becomes more and more invisible to us why it's actually happening and how to stop it. Because your brain really protects your habits. Your brain sees your habits as survival. And especially with a really strong habit that's associated with a lot of emotion, that's associated with something that is important for survival, like food, then our brain makes it so invisible. So I'll give you guys a couple of examples. You can feel this in your own life. Think of the strong habits that you already have. Think of, you turn off the light when you leave a room. You flush the toilet. You might have some physical tick. Maybe you flip your hair. I probably do that one. You flip your hair, or you roll your shoulders back, or you know, you walk in a certain way. You've gotten in a habit of doing that. You had an old injury when you were 12, and now you sort of walk differently on your ankle, and you have no idea because it's completely invisible to you because now it's just a habit that you're in. When you have a quiet moment, you just pick up your phone. Think of how many of those things you notice before you do them are in your awareness at all. If it's a strong habit, you don't. Your brain makes those so incredibly invisible to you because your brain wants to be efficient, and whatever is a habit, especially the things it sees for survival, it puts blinders. You cannot see what is happening there. So even if you try to notice, you're like, all right, well, I'm going to try to notice. I can break a habit. I can do it. I'm going to notice every single time that I turn off a light when I leave a room, every single time that I pick up my phone. You might notice, but almost 100% of the time, it's going to be afterward. Oh, I picked up my phone again. Oh, I picked up my phone again. It didn't stop you from doing it. You might have tried really hard to be aware of it, but the thing still happened. The binge still happened. The damage has still been done. And that is because it is on a subconscious level. Our brain hides the habits and what happens that proceeds up to that goes up to the habit, like the cascade of thoughts or actions that get us there. It makes those subconscious and invisible so that we keep doing the thing. And even if we notice it, that it's too late, the thing is already done. And so, like one of my wonderful mentors says, he says, you cannot read the label of the bottle when you live inside the bottle. What is a habit is subconscious in your mind of everything that leads up to it. And because your brain has made it invisible, you don't see it. You can't see it. You have mechanisms in your brain. That's why it feels so confusing. That's why we hear things like, and you might have experienced this yourself, before I knew it, I was binging. I don't know how I got here. I was so out of control. then I realized the whole package was gone. It was like I checked out, I blacked out, I, you know, came to. Look at this language around it. It's like going to sleep and then waking up and seeing the wrappers around you. And for some of you, I know it's gotten to the point where your brain is protecting it so strongly, it's literally in your sleep. You're night eating now. You're waking up at 1, 2 a.m. and you're realizing the day after when the kitchen's a mess and you're trying to clean it up before your kids see what happened, that it's so subconscious that you're doing it in your sleep now. We coach people all the time that it's in those times of sleep. And sometimes they're aware, sometimes they're not even aware until the next morning. And so your brain makes it more and more of a subconscious habit and it gets stronger and stronger. So again, you cannot read the label when you live in the jar. About 80% of what you actually need to see in yourself to end this problem with food for the rest of your life is invisible to you. But the parts, the little pieces that people can't see, oh, well, it's a habit. Oh, well, maybe it's this trigger. Maybe it's this thought. Maybe it's this thing. They go deeper and deeper and deeper into that 20% that they can see on their own, or that someone else who is not an expert that doesn't know how to fix this problem can see. Oh, well, I see that you're deficient in this nutrient. Oh, well, I see that maybe you have a lack of self-control. Oh, well, I see that maybe you need a better way to cope with stress. Oh, well, you know, I can see in myself that, you know, this is a habit and, you know, this is what happens when I lead up to it. This is how I feel. Well, I'll just dive into that 20%. And what it looks like is people get a PhD. We have people who have a PhD in counseling specializing in eating disorders that come to us because they have their own eating disorder they've never been able to fix. We have nutritionists and dietitians and doctors come to us because they took that 20% of, well, maybe if I just knew more about the body, or maybe if I knew more about emotions, or maybe if I knew more about nutrition, and they dive really deep into that 20% and they become an absolute expert at what they can see from the inside of the jar, and they still have the same problem. Because you've got to know how to read the label, and you've got to be outside the jar. And that is exactly why people come to us, because we know exactly what to look for and we know how to show people what they can't see on their own. And that is the beautiful piece of what will truly get you free, is that what we do is we don't just tell you how to be done and it feels like magic and that sticks. We actually show our clients in the first couple of weeks how to be able to see that 80% that they couldn't see. How to be able to hold a mirror outside of that jar and see everything that they need to know that they can't see on their own. Because once you know what you can't see and you're aware of it, that's a huge piece of freedom. But then when you know how to see that on your own, then that's freedom for the rest of your life. And often in just the first couple of weeks, our clients are able to see all of that 80% that they couldn't see before. And it is like an awakening. These are the sorts of things that people say. Wow, it's really that simple. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that I didn't see that before. Wow, it's as easy as that. I feel completely different. I mean, I can't even imagine wanting to binge anymore. Wow, I can see why I'll never feel like doing that again, because now I know this piece. Wow, that's actually so silly and that's so ridiculous that I ever felt or thought that way. Wow, I had no idea all that was there. Wow, I had no idea that that thought was in my head, because your subconscious, your brain has made it subconscious. And once it's at the conscious level, and once you know how to see it, you're able to, in the moment, no matter how late it is, no matter how stressed you are, no matter what food is around, it can be midnight with your favorite food on the kitchen counter and everyone's asleep, and you, in the moment, can melt away that urge to binge, and it is completely within your power. And then we put the right things in place so that those urges never come back. It's not about fighting a battle and hoping that you win for the rest of your life. It's about ending the battle so you don't have the battle anymore. And that is that true, true freedom. And if you are sick and tired of going round and round, or diving into that 20% and not seeing that progress, or realizing that the harder that you've tried, the worse it's gotten. And if you're tired of making it worse, if you're tired of living in the jar and not being able to see what you need to see to finally have that relief and be done, know that you absolutely can be done. But you've got to have somebody who can read the label of the jar. You've got to be able to see what you cannot see. And that is why we specialize in that, because it is what is most effective. That's what ended my eating disorder. That's what's ended hundreds and hundreds of other people's eating disorders that have come to us and gotten our help. sometimes after 40 years of struggle, and in as little as 1-2 weeks, sometimes 5 if there's some more work to do, sometimes 9 if there's, you know, even more that you want to do. We've had people who have come to us that quickly end their eating disorders, but then they use the same principles of being able to see all the things that they couldn't see on their own. So they end their anxiety and they get off medications. They don't have to go to counseling anymore. And they end their phobias. You know, we have a woman who is afraid of flying, and she used these same principles to see the 80% she couldn't see about her fear there. And she flew with her partner to Europe. Wonderful. So know that you absolutely can be done. And that starts with a free breakthrough session where we are there to help you do that exact thing, to help you to see the things that your brain has kept subconscious, so that you can be able to make a great decision about getting free and know exactly your next steps to solve this.
Hop over to lydialifestyle.com/session. That's lydialifestyle.com/session.
And you can get a free breakthrough session where we are going to partner with you and help you in that exact process. And it's not scary, and it's not something that's going to open up a whole can of worms, and it's not something that means that you have to start all the things in your life that you've been delaying or have to accept whatever weight you're at. There's no have to's about it. It's so that you are able to make good decisions because you can actually see what's happening. That's it. And everyone deserves to be able to have that opportunity and that chance and to know the next steps of how to solve this, so you can be done and free. So again, this is Lydia, the lifestyle coach, and we will talk to you soon. Mwah. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. If you felt a spark here and want to see how these principles can work in your own life, here is your next step. Pop over to lydialifestyle.com/session. That's lydialifestyle.com/session. Where you can book a free session with our team. We'll give you a call and together find clarity on 3 things. 1, the exact cycle you keep getting sucked into. 2, what isn't working with your approach. And 3, what's missing to close the gap between food prison and food freedom. We have helped free hundreds of women all over the world from their food struggles. These are proven principles that work, no matter how long you've been stuck. This is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, signing off. Mwah!